And we will have some of our collection of LGBTQ materials available there. You can check them out on the spot. You can sign up for a library card, even just stay and browse and sit and read. And we'll probably have some giveaways as well.
Hello and welcome all. You're listening to May and June with June.
I'm June, and this podcast is a radio piece for CICK News.
Now, throughout the next hour, I'm going to be talking about what's in store for the LGBT plus community in Smithers in the next couple months. I had the opportunity to interview Perry Rath, River Weil, and Melissa and Sandra from the Public Library, who all gave me some insight as to what will be going on this month and the next. Up first, I speak to Perry Rath, who will give us a rundown on what events are in store to celebrate Pride in the community, as well as some insight to the past and present of the Pride Committee. Hello. Today I'm here with Perry Rath.
Hi there.
So today I'm going to be interviewing you about the Pride Committee and your role in it. But before that, how do you identify?
Yeah, that's a good question. I am cisgender.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in a heterosexual family relationship, right? But when I was in high school, I always felt that I was bi, even though I mostly had relationships with people of the opposite sex. And back when I was in high school, it was a very different landscape for identification, and it's changed quite a bit in the years that I've been working with this, with these issues in our community and such. So, primarily, I feel like I have my best identity in this community as someone who is cishet, because then I'm an ally. And I feel like that provides a very, very good leverage
for people
for promoting this amongst people who aren't queer. And so therefore they're like, here's a guy who has a family, who has a wife, who feels these issues are important. So maybe I should, so I should think about why it's important to me too. Yeah. I mean, art's a pretty perfect place. I mean, when I went to art school, I had friends from all kinds of so many diverse kinds of people, right? And art generally brings that out in folks. People are more open to be who they truly believe themselves to be or explore that. So the art room seems to be the perfect place to have plenty of rainbows and this sort of thing. Yeah.
It's a good thing to have.
Yeah.
So I'd like to know, how did you get into the Pride Committee?
Well, so, a little bit of context then. Yeah. So when I was in high school, I was part of a group of artsy kids, and we were all different from the norm, you know? So we were bullied, you know, there's plenty of times I got sucker punched in the hall because I was different, whether or not, as I said, you know, when I was a youth, I considered myself bi. And so I think people just, anyone who's not clearly a masculine or a feminine person, you know, obviously we've come a long way with understanding non-binary and that kind of thing. So anyway, myself and my friend group, short story is that we were bullied for being non-conventional, whether that's related to gender sexuality identity or whether that's related to just being artsy and different.
Yeah. Self-expression do that.
Exactly. And then, of course, I went to art school, met lots of great other people who are queer and others who were very vocally and visibly so. And then all through my growing up, my overall larger friend group, there was all mixtures of queer folks.
Mm-hmm. So you're always kind of around that?
Yeah. And I got to know their stories about how hard it was for them to grow up, especially in small towns.
Yeah.
And so then when I got my job here at the high school in 2005, I became teacher sponsor for a group called Youth for a Better World, within that group, we talked about other issues that were important. And so we had a splinter group from that to start the Gay Straight Alliance.
Oh.
So we started the Gay Straight Alliance in 2007 or so here at SSS. Oh. And then a period of time later, maybe 2014 or so, we changed the name to the Gender Sexuality Alliance just to reflect, again, the large spectrum and the non-binariness of diversity within the diversity community.
Mm-hmm.
And I was starting to notice students also, once they graduate, I mean, lots of kids like to leave town because they feel like they need to spread their wings, right?
Mm-hmm.
But those that stay behind, they were like, what do we do now that we're out of high school? Like, can I still come back and be part of the GSA? And that was fine. Like I said, oh, you're alumni now, so you can come and meet with us and just hang out. But then it became clear that we needed a community group that represented the queer community. And so a lot of other things were converging at the same time. So there was some local workshops being held for trans issues and that kind of thing. So there seemed to be more people coming together. And so then I was part of the founding group to create a Smithers Pride Society, which was in 2018, I think. So in 2017, we held our first school Pride Day because we recognized that most of the things that we were recognizing in terms of queer visibility were always days like, you know, Anti-Homophobia Day, Trans Day of Remembrance, things that had rather solemn kinds of qualities to them because you're going against something, against hate.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point it hit us like, well, what is pride for? Pride is to celebrate the good, the positive. So it was like, let's have a pride event at our school. So we did that. And then it was around the same time that we were forming the Smithers Pride Society. So the next year we did a town pride. We did our school pride and our town pride. So, and then from then on, we've done a yearly town pride and also done other activities with our Smithers Pride Society in the community. So we've had like a queer film night. We've had various social events and we just act as advocates for the queer community with regards to the Rainbow Crosswalk, with regards to any other things that come up in town. So I've been involved since the beginning and I'm officially vice president of the Smithers Pride Society.
Okay. Yeah. That answers a lot of my questions.
Oh, okay.
So that's wonderful. But yeah, my next question was, has it been a positive experience for you to like form the Pride Committee?
Oh, it definitely has. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, when I think of how long we've come in our town. Like when we did our first Smithers Pride event on Main Street on the corner of, on the Buckwood Bean corner. That was when we had our first one there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was just amazing to see how many people came. Like I remember the first one, we were like, we don't know how this is going to go. We don't know how many people are going to come. We don't know if it's going to be any opposition that shows up. But I remember seeing so many people come out. It was so well received and it was just such a great coming together. And I would even see older queer couples, same sex couples or whatnot, who I didn't even know, who had obviously just been kind of hiding out in the backwoods, like feeling like they had to stay in the closet to some degree in our town.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember seeing them showing up holding hands and it was just so heartwarming.
So nice to bring people together like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Give people a place.
So it's been great to be able to come together, not only for these positive events, but to also have a group of people that we can debrief about certain things that happen in our community with, or figure out how to be proactive about other issues that come up related to the queer community and just feeling safe and belonging. Yeah.
That's wonderful. I guess you've been involved since the beginning. Wow. So is there anything that you'd like to share with us that is going to be happening this year in Pride Month?
So we've been organizing a lot for this year. So when COVID came, we had two online virtual prides. Last year was our first live pride again in person, which was great to come back for that. And that was at Beauville Square. And so this year we're going back to Beauville Square because the town just really loved it being there. So this year, so typically we have our school pride on the day before the town pride. So that's going to be on, school pride is Friday, May 26th. Town pride is Saturday, May 27th. We have a lot of community organizations that are allies that do other activities related to pride. So for instance, the Smith's Library has been with us right from the start.
Mm-hmm.
Having a diversity family story time. And they often have a display of all their books that show diversity and inclusion in terms of queer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, well, we do have some drag performers we're bringing up from Vancouver. And they're going to be part of three different things this year. So we have our main stage at Beauville Square, where we have a series of different performers. The drag performers will do a little short number there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll be having a evening adult only, like 18 plus ticketed event drag show at the old church.
Oh,
starting
cool.
At 8 o'clock.
Yeah. I was just going to ask you if you could mention if they were like easily accessible public, like
right.
The Beauville Square one or like Beauville ticketed
Square
and
one,
paid.
Yeah. The Beauville Square one is a free public event. So they'll be there performing just a short number, then a more extravagant number in the evening at the old church. And then the next morning, they're doing a drag brunch at the Roadhouse restaurant.
Mm.
So obviously that's open to the public too. You just got to go buy yourself some brunch and the drag performers will be there doing their thing.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. But yeah, also this year for the main event in on the town, we have a number of different organizations that will be setting up booths and tables in support of pride related things, handing out stuff. There'll be food trucks there. There'll be a little beer garden with all the local microbreweries and pubs will be there.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that sort of covers our pride weekend. Every year we try to make it a little bit bigger because we want to. People travel to here for from Prince Rupert to Prince George.
Oh, wow.
We get visitors over the years. We've tracked visitors where they come from, and so we just see the increase in pride tourism,
mm-hmm.
which is beneficial for the town.
Yeah.
For sure.
Baby steps, I guess.
Yeah.
Like every year.
Every year we add a little bit more. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. My fourth question is more, I guess, personal, but has being in the Pride Committee changed your outlook on anything in life? Or, I guess, setting it up?
Yeah, well, I guess it has. It has definitely affirmed my outlook in life. And it's helped to see the difference that has been made. Like, one of the key things that I've seen progress with as well is once we had the Pride Society, then some of the Christian churches in town who were supportive of Pride wanted to become more visible as well. So the United Church went through this process where they had us at Pride Society help them to become what's known as an affirming church, an affirming ministry, which they have to go through a bunch of, we helped provide some workshops for their congregation to just understand the importance of what it means to be affirming, which means being welcoming and accepting mm-hmm. of diversity. And their congregation was all on board with this. So they became a certified affirming church.
Oh, wow.
So they've got a rainbow above their entranceway. And so it's super important in our town, especially to have a Christian voice supportive of the queer community, because as we know, there are different institutions in the church who interpret the Bible in certain ways, mm-hmm. who believe in their belief, their interpretation is that there's no place for queer folks on earth. And obviously that's a very warped perspective that is just doesn't honor the true message of Jesus or anything.
No.
So it's just so important to have some vocal Christian churches mm-hmm. being very supportive of Pride. Yeah.
It's so good to see like whole communities and organizations being so open-minded to kind of adapting their ways to accept. I think it's great.
Yeah.
Does the committee have any future plans? Kind of past Pride?
Yeah.
I guess what do you have planned for the future?
Right. Yeah. Well, our main the Pride event, the Pride weekend, takes up a lot of time and resources. Mm-hmm. So that's our main focus. But then we also try to make sure we do things through the year. And now that we're kind of, you know, we still have to be health conscious with in terms of post-COVID world. But we are going to be reintroducing our queer film night, which we held before COVID, which was usually in October or November. So we'll have a queer film night this year.
And where is that held?
Dillard Herman Theaters, where we had it before. And so I presume we'll do it there again. And this past year we did more, we peppered more sort of social mixer events into our activities. So we had some, we would book the old church and we'd have social mixer there. We had some at the Smithers Brewing Company. And it all comes down to having enough volunteers really to help make these things happen. And I think as we get more and more momentum, more people will be able to help create these things to happen. Like we have other suggestions of other events that are not planned yet, but they're definitely on the list of things we'd like to make happen. It's just a matter of getting enough people to help take that on.
And do you have to be a part of the committee to volunteer? Or is there somebody you could contact?
Right. Yeah. No, you don't need to be part of the committee. So yeah, as a society, that means we have regular meetings so there's a board. We have a president, two vice presidents, you know, treasurer, secretary, and some members at large on our board. But then anybody in our community can become a member. We have a website, smitherspride.com, and there's a tab that's get involved. And that's how you can become a member and join our mailing list to know things. We also have a Facebook page that people can follow. And you don't have to be a paying member of, like, because we're a society, we do have to have memberships. We have to show to the province that there's interest in our community. So we have to ideally have a certain quota of number of people joining as a member.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to make sure there's no barrier to people if they can't afford it. The way we can be discretionary in how we provide memberships for people. But yeah, you don't have to be an official member to be able to volunteer or help. So you can check out smitherspride.com. My particular email is perry@smitherspride.com if you wanted to contact me directly. But otherwise, we're very happy to get more volunteers to help make more events because, again, the more visibility, the more normalized it becomes and the more welcome and belonging, sense of belonging will happen here. Because one of our other things that we are constantly doing is we have to respond whenever there's incidents of hate or discrimination that happen in our community. And sometimes we have to notify higher authorities about these incidents. There is now a town protocol for incidents of racism and hate, and we've signed on to this document.
Oh, wow.
And every so often, those sorts of things raise their head, right? And we're here to represent the queer community and help to make sure that they feel safe and being who they are in town. And so, as I said, that means sometimes we have to do a lot of work to counter the opposition to that.
Yeah, it's good that somebody's on their side and advocating with higher authorities. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, those were all my questions. You answered them beautifully. Thank you.
Oh, sure.
So yeah, much. Yeah. This was wonderful first interview.
You're very welcome.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so glad that young folks like you are feeling interested in knowing more about how Pride got to where it was in town these days. And I definitely feel there's a sense of empowerment more. And that's been my goal, really, because I'm a high school teacher, to just make the school environment more friendly for queer folks. And we've made a lot of progress, but there's always more to be done because, as you know, anything can raise its ugly head anytime.
Mm-hmm. Especially with, like, people with parents that aren't very supportive of that, and it kind of trickles down the generations.
Yeah.
So it's great that people are getting an outside perspective, even if they don't want to see it. Like, I know a lot of kids that just don't want to open their minds to it. And I guess maybe as they get older, but it's always nice for them to have the option.
Right.
I guess.
Yeah.
Is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I've been able to provide a bit of an intermediary, because I am sort of positioned as an ally in the community for people who are on the other side of the fence, who are like, I don't know what I think about Pride. Who can I talk to about it? And they're like, well, you can talk to Perry about it. Because so I've definitely had some very challenging discussions with some folks who don't agree with Pride. But I've been able to be that intermediary so that people in the queer community don't have to feel like they have to confront that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a role that I seem to have taken up just by the nature of me being visible like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you could do that.
Yeah. It's an honor.
Well, thank you very much for sitting down with me for a bit.
Yeah. You're very welcome, June.
A big thanks to Perry for sharing what's going to be happening around town. Up next, we have River Wild. River is an incredible artist in so many different aspects of the word. They host a radio show here on CACK called River Reads, which you may or may not have heard of. And they were kind enough to sit down with me and talk about their experience and philosophy of being a queer individual out in the world, as well as some of their plans as to what they will be doing to celebrate Pride this year. So, hello. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm River Wild, is one of the names I go by. I also go by Brady, but today we'll go by River.
Wonderful. My first question for you is, just first of all, how do you identify?
Another good question. First it was my name, and now how do I identify? I identify as, at the moment, because it is always changing. That is one of the things that age has brought me, is the understanding that I can't even put myself in a box. So, yeah, if that kind of works. So I go by they, them pronoun. I'm queer and polyamory, I say would be my gay identity. Yeah, I tried for years to, I would say probably most of my 20s and for the first little bit of my 30s was trying to nail down my identity and really trying to solidify that and make it solid, because I thought that's what one was supposed to do. Thankfully, I entered university and quickly found out otherwise. So that's where the fluidity has come in, and it's freed me up with many, many areas. So much easier.
That's nice. Yeah. Where did you go to university?
To University of Victoria.
Oh,
yeah. So I went there and actually got I'm a registered social worker in my quote unquote day job, but that's not actually working at the moment.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
That was my next question, as Lynn, like, what do you do? What's your job?
Yeah. So my passions are, I would say I'm an artist first and foremost. I'm a performance artist. I do burlesque professionally as well as drag. So the River Wild is actually my burlesque persona name. I just like it a lot, so I keep it. And R Wild is my drag persona name.
And I'm also an artist. So I've, you know, I did a show paired with Perry as well. And I also doing a radio show right now and very involved in the arts community in many ways. So I guess I'm a coordinator, event coordinator, and all of those. Master of nothing, but no many trades.
Would you call yourself a jack of all trades?
Almost. Like, yes.
Yes. That's nice.
I've built my own house, but with much help. Those kind of things. Yeah, I just like getting focused on things and learning new skills. So,
and would you say that kind of having the art community with you, would you say that it kind of led you into the Pride community? Or
I would say that I got into the arts because of just not quite liking the status quo. And the arts allowed, from very young age, I'm on the spectrum, I have autism. But at the time, I didn't know that. So I just, right, yeah. So for me, there was just always trying to find a place where I could have an outlet to be how I wanted to be, however I wanted to be. And the arts, so music and theater, was a place that I could really play around with character and myself and just kind of I was very passionate about it and still am. So I would say the arts definitely has helped encourage that, but more that I found the arts because of I was queer. Then the other way around, like, I brought the queer, because up north there was no queer when I was growing up, up in Hazleton. So to me, it was definitely more of just wanting a place where I could play, because I knew there was space to play and I wanted to enjoy and explore that.
Why not?
Yeah.
Would you consider yourself a part of the Pride community here in Smithers, or I guess just in the Bulkley Valley in general?
Yeah, it's interesting. So when I spent 26 years down south. So when I was 15, I moved down south with the family when my dad went to school, and I ended up staying on when they came back. And that was where I came out fully. And so when I came out in Victoria, where I was living, that also meant that I came out in my hometown, and I was the first one that I knew of that came out in my town. And thankfully for me, I wasn't around to necessarily experience it, where my sister that lived still in the same town did experience some of the homophobia, but mostly their friends got to see me as a person that if I could do that, then they could also. So I found that her group of classmates kind of thing, became even more publicly queer.
Mm-hmm.
That's 7 years age difference there between my sister and I. So it was kind of nice to be somebody that could be openly publicly gay and would be when I came back, like presented as such, played the part, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so that really, I think, really helped normalize things. And then there was just a bigger change overall culturally that was happening. It was around the same time, but yeah, it was interesting
And when you came back, was it like a positive thing? Did people welcome you? Did they?
You can't see the face because we're doing the on the radio stuff here. But yeah, it was definitely, I somewhat recloseted when I came back up north. So down south, living my gay life, living the queer polyamory life, very public, gender fluid. When I came back here and was wanting to work in this field of social work and was really wanting to be sensitive to people I might come into contact with from a range of different backgrounds and different values and things like that. So I really professionally started to present a little more toned down, and then it just kind of, I allowed it to just take over and I kind of disappeared into it in a way. So it was nice to be able to finally connect actually with Smithers Pride and be able to put on events. But I often would come as my persona as River Wild, not just as me being the gay kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's only been now in the last few months that I, with the recent increase in homophobia that seems to be happening, especially against non-binary and trans individuals, I'm seeing a need more again to be public and to put myself back out into a more visible representation mm-hmm. of myself. So that's where I'm at now. And I feel that Pride has definitely helped that. Such an amazing community here, not necessarily a gay community, but a lot of a broad queer community of humans that are very supportive and maybe themselves have a little bit of the gay. And they're married, have kids, but, you know, there's a bit of the gay.
Yeah, I find that a lot of, as I get more involved in the community, I find that a lot of labels are kind of just tossed aside and they're like, you are what you are.
Yeah.
I don't do this and sometimes I do this. Yeah. There's a name for it, but I don't go by it. And it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a small town.
Exactly, I guess.
Exactly. But yeah, speaking of Pride, do you have any plans for like the upcoming Pride Month?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, one of the things I'm always there trying to support. So there's Pride. I'm not an actual member, but I've always just been involved because I just am a coordinator and just and know the people that are involved, love them, adore them. So this year, my sister and I both offered some of our support to help with some of the, I always say it wrong, the artistic direction. Is that right? Not autistic. I always say autistic and artistic. It's the one that's the official name for it. It is somebody on the autism spectrum, but it's not that one.
Okay.
So again, just helping set up the performance, the things like that. So one of the things that I'm bringing this year that is very political, because in the past, I feel like Smithers Pride, when it was, it's only been a few years I've been doing it, but it felt like we were 10 or 15 years behind the rest of the world. So it felt like, in a way, the Pride meant something more political than it does down south, or it did down south at the time when I lived there, because for 26 years, it was just party and a time to really get together and have a lot of fun. The political side kind of felt like the legwork had already been done. And so you were just partying and living your life. Where Smithers, it became a lot more about involving other communities, looking for allies, looking for allyship. So even in the first couple of years that we did it, we made sure we had the RCMP involved, that we tried to get some churches involved. We're down south. That's unheard of. Like, they're not welcome. It's like the anti kind of thing, right? Because again, of all the harm that these institutions have caused historically on the queer community. So police, unless you're a raving homo, the thing, aren't necessarily, they don't want to be seen as silly in uniform around. And same with churches, they aren't usually invited to speak. Where here in Smithers, it felt really important to just to really show the community support that we had. So especially involving different community churches and things like that, trying to get involved. And then this year again, I'm introducing drag story time, as well as a very much a political protest, because we're told we can't. And then like, I'm a registered social worker. My job is to protect children. And you're saying I'm a monster. And it's just ridiculous. So to me, this idea is to be able to do a little bit more political action that way. And there has been some backlash. I'm being sheltered from a lot of it, thankfully. But there definitely has been some backlash from the community, which is, I'm disappointed, because I think what I like about the North is this idea of we help each other out, even when we don't necessarily agree on politics. And to feel that kind of is not happening, it can't help but feel like outside forces are influencing locals to make such an upset about it. So, yeah, I'm suspicious. It just feels weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was unfortunate that so many people are kind of jumping on this hate train lately.
And again, I mean, I just remind myself that I know that those voices are loud voices, but they are not the normal voice. That my everyday experience shows me that this is a very warm and accepting community of the differences. And that I just remind myself that they may be loud, but that doesn't mean that they actually represent what the actual feel and energy and culture is in the area.
It's a really good thing to remember. I love that. But in terms of, oh yeah, Pride Storytime, do you want to talk about that a little bit?
So yeah, so it came about obviously because I've just been following a lot of the politics in the States, which just don't.
Yeah.
If you don't want to be depressed, just don't do that. But then I'm like, if I don't do it, am I going to be the silent person that things are happening and I could have done something? So I'm trying to limit myself. I've asked my family to engage a bit more with it so I'm not having to be daily traumatized by things. But what does unfortunately happen in the States does often follow suit in Canada. So to me, seeing that even in the Canadian field that Drag Story Time has been having some big backlash made it feel even more important that I did that, that I do it. And it just happened to fit that I am already doing a radio show that is River Reads and it's fairy tales and stories. And so I'm already reading. So I'm reading stories already. Fairy stories, whatever those are called.
Fairy tales.
Those fairy stories. Unlike the queer stories. Mm-hmm. So I'm reading those. So it just kind of fit in. So for my actual radio show that day, I'm going to do a full hour of story time and drag on the radio. Oh,
it's the thought that counts.
It's again that idea of the silliness of it. Because literally, what I do on the radio is what I'm doing in person. Like it is that non-threatening. Like it's storytelling, right? So there'll be again that kind of story hour on the radio, and then we'll also do during kind of like not intermissions, but during when acts are changing over on the main stage. That's where I picture I'll be doing. Just little stories, just for the whole audience to hear, and I'll just be in drag. So it'll be very non-structured, very much just off the cuff, if that's the word. It's so bad with those things. One of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what that is.
That sounds really fun. Yeah. Is there anything else that you might be doing other than...
Yeah, so after the Drag Time Story Hour. Again, we're looking at possibly trying to do pair it up with another agency and maybe do an actual just straight Drag Time Story Hour. And so kind of looking at that, trying to get other people involved that maybe even don't normally do drag ever or maybe aren't even normally performers, just to really normalize
They're people.
They're just people, right? It's like, put a mustache on. You're doing drag. Doesn't mean you have to live and change your life. Like, it is literally dress up and escapism. So to me, that kind of fun. That's what I'm hoping will also happen after that. So the host and I that are going to be kind of the MCs for the event have both agreed to do Drag Time Story Hour during the actual event. And then, of course, the evening event that isn't an all-age event will be there'll be in drag performers coming as well from out of town as well, and so I may or may not do a drag show during that time, but again I'll be definitely in drag for the day, so
okay.
Representing, so
yeah, well, that'll be fun, I'm sure.
Okay.
You've answered all of my questions beautifully. This is exactly like, I love your political like stance on it, like being able to, like knowing you have to, well, not that you have to, but like that you can make a difference and that you're trying to, and that you are. It's like,
it's lovely. Yeah, well, I had a really low moment, probably a couple months ago, where I literally just shut down and was so scared and felt very vulnerable. And I put a cry video out. I never do that. And I immediately took it down, but put the cry video out and then was like, what did you just do? This is so embarrassing. but again, the whole point was like, I'm scared. I'm raw. Are people even aware that there is this climate that's starting to ripple up in the queer community? And just how alone I felt, because I feel, especially in the North, the biggest challenge for us is being able to see and witness each other in the queer community. We're out there, but we're scattered. You know, we're often with our more hetero presenting friends or family. So again, just that kind of trying to connect with each other. And so that's why, to me, being more visible started to become important again, to be like, hey, if I'm not public and just hiding, because that's literally what I was. I was like, I have made myself invisible.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, well, I don't like being invisible. I like attention. So again, coming and making it a stand with this idea of hoping to build and strengthen community as well as bring an allyship. And so somebody commented on the post before I took it down, the cry video, just saying how important it was for the younger generations to have older generations as examples. And I think back to one of my partners that was a bit older than me at the time, and I remember being angry at them for not being able to hold my hand in public and just not understanding their fear. They grew up when people were in more fear. And then I'm now in this era and I'm like, oh, I sense it. Okay, I sense it, which made me even realize more that I had to be visible because of the current environment.
You're so brave for that. You are. Thank you so much for sitting down with me and answering my questions.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Yay. Did it.
Thank you so much to River for sharing. Our third and final guests today are Melissa and Sandra from the Public Library. They will be telling us about some of the events they will be hosting and participating in this month, as well as clearing up some of the rumors that have been heard around town. So, today I'm here with Sandra and Melissa from the Smith Public Library, and they're going to give us a rundown on kind of what's going on for Pride Month and kind of in May. Or in May, so if you... May to June, yeah. So if you guys would like to kind of speak on it.
Just a summary of what we're doing would be starting with some displays of our collections, anywhere from children's to teen to adults. We have a pretty large 2S LGBTQ plus collection of books, and we have brochures that we update every year that is comprehensive of our collections. We'll have those available as well. And we are also going to be participating in the Smithers Pride Celebration, the Community Pride Celebration, with our tent. And we will have some of our collection of LGBTQ materials available there. You can check them out on the spot. You can sign up for a library card, even just stay and browse and sit and read. And we'll probably have some giveaways as well. And then on June 3rd, I'll let Sandra speak more to this. We're going to be having our family pride story time.
Mm. Yeah, so, and our family pride story time, I think that will be the sixth year that we are going to do this. And it is basically a celebration of diversity and inclusion. And since it's more important than ever to create a world where everyone feels accepted and valued for being who they are, we invited all families to come and join us for this celebration.
That's wonderful. And for the kind of pride tent, May 27th, was that? Is it just going to be books, or is there going to be like books and giveaways? Is there going to be anything else kind of going on? Just
like, well, originally, both Sandra and I are going to be out of town that day. Originally, we were both going to be there, and Sandra was going to have her pride story time under the tent that is now going to be on June 3rd here at the library. But two other of my colleagues are going to be doing the tent, and so it won't involve a story time. We'll just be there with our books. We're contributing to, I think, a scavenger hunt with a giveaway of some books, and we're just going to be there celebrating what everybody else is doing.
Well, that's great.
Yeah,
it's exciting.
Yeah.
There's been some talk around the town about you guys not doing drag story time. And I haven't heard met very many rumors, but I was just wondering if you guys wanted to clear that up at all.
I think the rumors have started. Basically, we're not doing anything different from what we've always done, which is 6 years of Sandra doing her family pride story time. While there was never a plan for us ourselves to have a drag queen involved in our event, I just wanted to say that we fully support. I know there's a drag queen story time happening via the Smithers Pride Society on the stage, and they have our full support, and we're celebrating what they're doing. So there hasn't been a change for us. There was just a misinterpretation, I think, maybe because of some of the advertising and the fact that we're having a pride story time as well. They may have been conflated together, but we basically support what everybody is choosing to do and celebrate that. And we hope people understand and support what we were doing.
Well, I think, you know, our storytelling is a storytelling that is showing positive role models from the two as LGBTQ plus community. And we are using books and songs and crafts and lots of smiles and laughter. And this is what we have done in the last 6 years. And it was very positively received by all families that came.
So basically, you know, libraries are a bastion of freedom of expression, freedom of access to information. And our Family Pride Storytime event is one of those programs. And so everyone is welcome, but it is voluntary. And it is up to each individual family to decide whether or not that is something that's suitable or appropriate for them to attend. And while the right to disagree or to take issue with something is, you know, a complementary right to the freedom to speak, I think that it does not mean that that gives you the right to decide that for other people. So you have the right to not attend, but not the right to prevent other people from attending something that they want access to. So we invite everyone to attend who has an open mind and will be respectful. And yeah, I just, all we want to do is be a place that is, you know, celebrating inclusion, diversity for everybody, and to have dialogue, but dialogue in a way that is respectful and in line with our code of conduct.
Indeed. Well, thank you so much for clearing that up. I think it's lovely that you guys are doing all of this. And yeah, I think that's all that I really need to ask you. And thank you so much for sitting down with me.
No problem.
Thank you to Melissa and Sandra for clearing everything up. And thank you for tuning into this month's update on Pride. This has been May and June with June. Goodbye.